Okay, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, we're talking about the law of the harvest. I will review laws 1, 2, 3, 4, and 4. I'll just read through, alright, and then explain. Then I'll go through law number 5, which is actually what we're going to touch on today. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Okay, I'll just read and you listen. Galatians 6, 9. Ready? One? I'll read. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Okay, we shall reap if we faint not. We talk about the law of the harvest. The law of the harvest is a very important principle in the Christian life. And I think many Christians don't realize that. And I think because of that, many Christians actually get very discouraged when what they are doing, they don't see the fruit. Okay? So, I'll just go through the first four laws which I've mentioned already. Okay, the first law is we reap only what has been sown. We reap only what has been sown. Okay? That simply means that if I reap an apple seed, sorry, if I sow an apple seed, I'll get an apple tree. Alright? Okay? So, if I sow kindness, I will get back kindness. Okay? But if I sow anger, I might just get back anger too. Alright? That's the principle. Okay? So, the second principle is we reap the same in kind as we sow. It's almost the same as the first one. Okay? Sin reaps sin. Hard work will reap the results of hard work. Is that someone? Yeah, that one. Can. And deceitfulness reaps deceitfulness. Almost the same, these two. Then law number three, we reap in a different season than we sow. We reap in a different season than we sow. Okay? One of the glaring, is there such a word, glaring? One of the most glaring example, not glaring, glaring example is some people in our church, you know, we would, we tractor, we knock on doors, that was 2 years ago, and then we call them 2 years later, and they say, we're coming, you know? Or, out of the blue, someone just said, I've had this a few times, not a lot of times, and I just get the SMS, said, Brother Johnny, do you still remember me? The kind of message I say, yeah, of course I do, you know. I have never changed my handphone number in the last 8 years. And you know, one of the principles of being just there. And when people are in need, they can just call you, and thank God for that. And Sister Jesslyn is one. We knew her at Primary 5. That was 11 years old. At 19 years old, she SMS me again 8 years later. She got saved, joined the church. Okay, and because we reap in a different season than we sow. Parents, you are the ones that have to understand this. You have to sow now. Then you can reap. You got to sow good behavior. You got to sow love. You got to sow kindness. You got to sow discipline. You got to sow and make sure the child walks with God. So that 10 years from now, you can really see the fruit. Okay, I thank God I can see one of the fruits here. And Jara is going to share his testimony on Sunday for baptism. And we're challenging some other people too. So I thank God for that. Okay, and I thank God that they willingly wanted to do that. Thank God also for my mom. Okay, my mom trusted Christ in 1997. Okay, 14 years later, she said, she will share her testimony as well, okay, on Sunday. So, we reap in a different season than we sow. This is a principle of faithfulness for the Christian. We just need to be faithful. Okay, and I want to be encouraging to you because God says you will reap if you faint not. Okay, law number 4, and this is interesting, okay. Law 4 and 5 is related except from different perspective. Law number 4 says we reap more than we sow. We reap more than we sow. Okay, this is very, very important for us to understand. Because, example, if you sow sin, let's imagine if you just sow one lie, okay, just one lie. When you sow one lie, you affect this person. And whatever the lie is, you affect everyone related to that lie. Like it or not. For example, if I say, I didn't take. Let's say if someone comes up to me, Bro, Johnny, you took my pencil. Okay, let's say, then I say, I didn't take. But actually, I took it. Let's say, I lied, I didn't take. So what he's going to do is going to get angry and say, are you sure you didn't take? No, I didn't take. So I keep insisting I didn't take. So what he's going to do, he's going to turn on someone else. Right? And when he turns on someone else, the other person who is innocent will say, why in the world are you accusing me? I didn't take anything. And then he keeps going on to everyone else. That happens in the family a lot, right? Sometimes workplace as well, especially with people who can be a little bit unreasonable. Sin spreads. When we sow sin, it affects a lot of things. I think understand this, sin, one drop of sin is like a ripple in a pond. When you drop it, it spreads and spreads and spreads. It does not stop. You know, do you know why God has to punish sin in hell forever? Because sin continually spreads. It cannot be stopped. It has to be killed. On the reverse side, if you do what is right, you also reap more than you. So, example, I think the most glaring example is, remember the boy who gave up his lunch? Let's turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, okay? Just... John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse number 5. I'll just read through. I just want to refresh before I go into point number 5. John chapter 6, verse 5. And Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that this may eat? The great company is 5,000 men. Okay? You need catering companies like who? Who are big catering companies in Singapore? What, Stanford? What else? What? Singapore Food Industries, yeah, I cater for army. And okay? You need that kind of size. You need like walks that you have to do this kind of thing. Okay? I think God sometimes have a sense of humor. You just say, Philip, you give them something to eat. I say, what? Lord, you know, there's no place to buy food. Okay, now look at verse 6. But you know what Jesus was doing? This said he, to prove him, to test him, for Christ himself knew what he would do. Verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not enough. That is equivalent to 1 penny worth is 1 day's salary. 200 penny worth is about 6.5 to 7 months salary. Okay, if you earn $2,000, that's $14,000. And that $14,000 worth of food is not enough. Okay, for these people. But you know what? Then in verse number 9, just go down. There's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And there's a lad here. The barley loaves is your gardenia loaves. Okay, the size of the gardenia loaves. Okay, the two fishes, in the past they don't have refrigeration. So what they do is when they catch the fish, they actually salt it. Kind of like your nasi lemak, the kind of fish. About that size, slightly bigger some, slightly smaller some. So you have 2 salted fishes and 5 gardenia loaves. Okay, about this size. To feed 5,000 men, minus a woman and the children. Okay, and what did Jesus do? And so the disciples said, no, that's not possible. Okay, and so in verse number 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, that the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise to the fishes as much as they would. And guess what? Very important principle for Christian, whatever little you have. This boy gave up his lunch. Basically, that's equivalent to a lad's lunch. He's willing to give up his lunch. And when God takes what we willingly give, can you imagine what God does? Think about that, Christian. If you are willing to give up something for God, just imagine what God can do. Remember, I spoke to you, I shared with you, his name is Fraser. Fraser is just, I think he's from England, America. I think he's from America. One man willing to go to the remote parts of this tribe. And because of one man, 20,000 of tribal people. By the way, these tribal people have no language. And God used him as an American to reach this. And he would speak in Mandarin. And when you see the DVD, it's a real life story, right? His Chinese writing is better than mine. Alright, and his English. he's an American. So, one man willing to give up his life. And then I was preaching in a Chinese church about, except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, bideth alone. But when it dies, it brings forth much fruit. In John chapter 12, verse 24. You know, the law of the harvest states that if you are willing to sow, if you're willing to sow that 1 hour, or you sow the whatever, how much you give to the Lord, God is able to multiply. That's God's perspective. Now, law number 5, which I'm going to touch on today. Law number 5 says this, we reap in proportion to what we sow. Okay? From God's perspective, when we sow, God absolutely multiplies. Okay? But from a human perspective, we will reap how much we give up, how much we sow. All right. Now, what does that mean? it seems, just kind of make it very simple in terms of understanding. Let's say I'm supposed to study 12 chapters for my exams, and I decided that I'm just going to cut short. I kind of just study one chapter by very well and skim through the other 12. You think I'm going to do very well? You think I'm going to do very well if I just kind of skim through my why are you laughing? Some people do that. Don't do that. Okay. Some people feel I just kind of skim through. I should be okay. When you do that, you reap what you sow. Okay, there was one boy who was very actively serving the Lord, and the exams came, he didn't study, and so he wrote in his answer script, "My God knows the answer." Yeah, okay. And then the teacher Mark came back, "Yeah, I know your God knows the answer, but you don't, so you still fail." Okay, you reap what you sow. Okay, just from the human perspective, you reap what you sow. You sow hard work at your workplace, your boss recognizes that, it gives you a promotion or it gives you a bonus. But you skive at work, you don't put in your effort, you don't, it's time to do your homework, you don't do your homework, you get what you sow. Okay, now this has to do, for those of you who have that, this has to do with human responsibility. Human responsibility. There is a part that God requires for men to be involved in His work. There are many people who say this, since God is going to do the work, so we can just kind of sit back and relax. Yeah, we'll pray. We don't have to put in anything. You know that if you study, an honest study of the Bible will tell you that it's inconsistent. God expects us to work and to work hard. In fact, man was made for work. Before sin even came in, Adam had to work. But of course, before sin came in, work was fun, right? How many of you think work is fun now? Put up your hand. No, work is not fun today. Why? Because of sin. But you know what? Even though work is hard, you know what? Submit to it, because that's part of submission to the discipline, the punishment that God gives to us. Ladies have to give birth to children, and that's part and parcel of the curse. And some people say, no, I'm not going to be cursed. I don't want to give birth to children. All right, well, then you just miss a blessing. Okay, God intended to be a blessing as well. But here, it has to do a lot with human responsibility. We just want to quickly touch on this today, because it's very important for Christians to understand how much you sow. You know, we sow a lot to our work. We put in a lot of hours for our work, right? And of course, you get back, you reap from your work. We put in a lot in our so-called social circles. We kind of, how many of you read yesterday's DL, Digital Life? Who tops the world in Facebooking? Anyone read? Who tops the world in Facebooking? Singapore. And we are 20 minutes, apart from 40 minutes, right? General, about 30. Singaporeans top the world in Facebooking. Okay? Top the world in Facebooking. Okay, taken from the qualifier, but it's just one month sample in August. I thought Singaporeans were so busy. Huh? Where are they Facebooking? At work, right? iPhone is a big company. Think of, I couldn't believe it, but anyway, Singapore topped the world in Facebooking, and then they are just wondering, average of 40 minutes per person, okay, and it actually beat the closest contender, which is about, how many, Jeremiah knows the facts, the next one is how many minutes, the next one, about half of, 38, I think, or 30, or about, yeah, so, okay, question, what are we sowing in our free time? Alright, I'm not saying it's a general survey, okay, it doesn't mean that it's here, but you know, if we think carefully, then what are we sowing in our free time? Because if we would follow the law of the harvest, the Bible says you will reap according to what you sow. So if you read Facebooking, all you get is lots of contacts, right? A lot of likes or dislikes, huh? Okay, or sometimes your boss calls you for something, and the boss comes in, I dislike your Facebook kingdom or whatever. Okay? And I've seen many times at work when people just face, when I come in, kind of change screen kind of thing. We Facebook. And they are, you're laughing. Can I say this as a Christian? We have to be very careful of our testimony. Because if we are no different from the world, we might just lose our testimony there. Okay? The point is this. What are we sowing in our free time? God's part in whatever we sow is to multiply. For those people who work in the children's ministry on Saturday, whatever little effort you put in, God can multiply. Amen? Whatever time, so one person, Brother Tai Hing, came at 6 a.m. just to tie water bombs, you know. You know, God will bless him for that. And for those who came in later to help, so God will bless for the little things that everyone have done, the food, the transfer, God will bless, and God can multiply. Okay? But what do we ourselves sow? You see, for us, if we know that God actually will multiply, then on our part, we need to trust in God's sovereign providence and promises. We need to sow all the good we can and leave the results to God. Does that make sense? If God can multiply, then we need to sow all the good we can and leave the results to God. Because God can certainly multiply what we sow. In a similar vein, when we don't sow, when we don't do anything, guess what? We won't get anything. And sometimes, as Christians, we don't get growth. It's because we don't put in anything. And is there something I want us to carefully evaluate? Let's look at the scriptures, alright? I just keep talking. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Let's read it together. This is not a... You want to use the word offering verse, alright? But this is just a... It is related to giving. But in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, let's read together. Ready? Ready? 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, ready? 1, 2, begin. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Okay, so God says, it's very clear. If you sow sparingly, you are just going to get back. Sparingly. Have you ever seen people who put in $1 and expect to get $1,000 or $2,000? There is, you know. Hey, I also what? You know, I also do a little bit what? In Chinese, they say, what? 看着有份, is it? Those who see also got a part of it. No! If you put in the effort, then you get back. See, the Bible is very clear. When you sow, then you get back. If you don't sow, parents listen to this. If your children don't study, they're not sowing. So you can pray till the cows come home. He's not going to get good results, full stop. That's what the Bible says. Okay? So which means that our children need some discipline. Okay, understand, Richie? No, just kidding. Okay, not just for all the children, we just need to, they need to do their work. And we as parents, we need to help them and say, look, I know it's time to play now, but you know what? I know it's not time to play now, and so it's time to work. And sometimes, and children, when parents actually help, you know what the parents are wanting us to do? Let's sow when it's time to sow. I can tell you, if you one day before the exams, it's too late to sow. Okay? Your ground is hardened already. Okay? So, God wants us to learn to sow bountifully. Okay? Well, this verse is not a direct quotation from the Old Testament. It is a clear statement in summary of this principle which is found throughout the Bible. The Bible teaches it this way. If you want to be rich, give. If you want to be poor, graft. Listen, if you want to be rich, you give. If you want to be poor, you keep holding back. Keep on holding back. If you want abundance, if you want a lot of things, just scatter. Okay? But if you want to be needy, then keep. Then keep. Then keep. Okay? Turn to Haggai chapter 1. Book of Haggai chapter 1, once again. Ezra and Nehemiah, Zechariah was kind of reminding the children of Israel to be more involved. Haggai chapter 1. I had a hard time finding Haggai the last time. Haggai chapter 1, there it is. Hang on, where is this? It's appeared again. Haggai. Zephaniah Haggai. Okay. Verse 3. Let me just read, alright? You just listen. This is what Haggai the prophet said unto the children of Israel. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? The word sealed houses means decorated houses. Okay? The background is this. God has just called Nehemiah and Ezra to go back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. After they went in to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, they had some opposition from some of the enemies, Zambala and Tobiah, these people. And the building of the temple of God ceased for 15 years. They literally stopped for 15 years. And God had to raise up Zechariah and Haggai and these people and say, "Hi, you people from Israel, is it time for you to..." What they did was, after the ceasing of the building of the walls, what they did was they went back and built their own houses. They took care of their own things at home. So Zechariah had to come down and say, "Look, is it time for you to dwell in sealed houses and this temple of God lay waste?" That was literal. The temple of Jerusalem, or the walls of Jerusalem, was a very important part of the Jewish culture and their worship. And so Zechariah and Haggai said, "Look, how can you take care of your own things when the temple of God is in shambles? The walls are broken down. Come on, guys." In verse 5, "Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your way, think. You have sown much and bring in little." How many of you feel that you're overworked, underpaid? Put out your hand. All of us feel that. But can I say this, that if you sow more to the world, maybe that's why more people get frustrated. It doesn't happen in the Christian life. Did you know that? Think about that. When you sow in the Christian life and towards God's work, it doesn't happen like that. You won't get frustrated. In fact, you become more joyful. Agree? When you sow your time and one soul comes to Christ, I don't know about you, there'll be tears of joy for me this Sunday, next Sunday, when people are sharing their testimony for baptism, for salvation, for following the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you the 10 months of sowing is worth it. Amen? That people will take a step of faith to follow God. Anytime people take a step of faith to follow God, I rejoice. Okay, that's a present that God gives to me every time someone pulls away and don't want to walk with God. So my heart breaks as well. You know, as parents, we need to do that. If our children are not walking with God, or if you see anyone in church, you know, being in sin, that is not wanting to walk with God, our heart should break and pray for them. Here, Haggai said, "Look, you have sown much, but bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough." Typical Singaporean. Huh? "You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but ye are not filled with drink. You clothe, but there is none warm. And ye that earneth wages," listen, "earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." How many of you would say, "I go to cold storage, I buy, I don't know, two small packets, and that's it, you know, big hole in my pocket." You know, after a while, it's a chasing after the wind. Oh yeah, we do need. Yeah, some people laughing, you know what I mean. I think it's, but you know what God is saying? Guys, put your priority where it's most important. Don't sow and then having to put whatever you've earned into bags with holes. You reap in proportion to what we sow. The world's philosophy and man's wisdom is typically just the opposite, okay? This is interesting. Get all you can all you get, then sit on the can. You get that? Get all you can. The word can means just hoard all you can, and then go sit on the can. What happens? Even your dollar notes will turn yellow. Right? Huh? That simply means just go get all you can. Just keep keeping. Where is Steve Jobs with his billions of dollars now? That's what God is. The law that we reap in proportion to the law we sow, like all the laws of the harvest, operates both negatively and positively. If we sow abundantly to God in His work, in His Spirit, we will reap abundantly in spiritual blessings. But we sow abundantly to the flesh, we will reap an abundant harvest of consequences according to the flesh. David was a case in point. This is very important. David, remember David when he fell into sin, what was his first problem? What was his first problem? He never go to war. Did you realize what was David's problem? The Bible says clearly, it was a time in the year that kings go to war. And what was King David doing? He was relaxing in his house. He wasn't doing much. He was relaxing. You know? He wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. And the Bible says, firstly, he was not doing what he was supposed to do. Number two, his eyes start to wander. Okay? Number two, his eyes started to wander. And guess what? Bathsheba was doing something that he was not. And by the way, you don't take a shower in the rooftop. Okay, that was her problem. Okay, the responsibility is on both sides. But you know what? David, God was focusing on David. And David lusted with his eyes. And then, what did David do after that? He coveted, broke the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Right? What did he do as king? Come. Committed adultery, broke another commandment. I think commandment number 7 or 8. And then after that, what did he want to do? Wanted Uriah to come in. He wanted to commit murder now. Right? Okay, another commandment. Then he told a lie. Okay, he broke half, the second half of the 10 commandments. Because of one sin. One sin after another. And by the way, when we sin one time, generally, if you don't want to confess, you need another sin to cover up the first one. Unless you have a very, very good memory. Alright, you know, some children like to tell, some children may tell a little lie and they think they can cover up with another lie. You better have a very good memory. Because your sin will find you out. And so David, what happened was what? The more he tried to, when he saw one sin, he just got one sin back, another sin back, another sin back, another sin back, another sin back. And this is very, very important because, you know, one of the things I tell my children, you know why Papa preached so hard about sin? Because I've seen it destroy lives. If I understand sin, I want you to understand this. Sin will never stop its fires unless you confess it to God and get God to put out the fire. Does that make sense? We've got to kill sin. We've got to get rid of it. Because otherwise, if we keep doing that to the flesh, we just become more and more fleshly. And then we'll walk further and further away from God. However, the emphasis of this particular law, right? Just to switch that a bit. The emphasis of this law is actually that motivation that the more we sow towards good, God can then bless us even more. Does it make sense? It was never God's intention to put in the negatives in our life. The negatives came in only because of our selfish nature. Does that make sense? And so when God put in the law of the harvest to reap in proportion to what we sow, the more hard work we sow for God, the more God will bless us. And I thank God for those people who have been trying to do right. And every one of us, I'm sure in your heart and mind, you want to serve God and you do a little bit things for God. This law of sowing in proportion should encourage us. Now, if I sow just 1/10 and God gives me back a bit more than 1/10, then I should be sowing 2/10. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about service. I'm talking about whatever you can give to God. Then I should sow a bit more. Then I should sow a bit more. Because trusting in God's faithfulness to bless and multiply, but God will only bless according to the amount I give, then I need to put in more. So that God can bless us more. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? And so this principle actually wants us to grow in our giving. It's a spiritual law of life. Okay, this is important. This is a spiritual law of life that's inherent in the nature of God. Giving is an inherent nature of God. To give is something that is in God's heart, but to give is not in man's heart because we are by nature selfish. And God therefore wants us to change. And that's why He puts in this law. According to what you give, you will receive. Does that make sense? God wants to change us, and therefore He puts in this law to try to change, to teach us. The more you give, that's why in the Bible there's a lot of contradiction. If you want to gain your life, you have to lose it. Right? If you want to receive, you have to give. Because you know why? The person that gives is not yourself or the environment, is God. And God gives abundantly. Okay? And God gave us some Bible verses to reinforce it. Let's look at a few verses. Maybe we'll get, if Brother Taylor, you can look at Acts chapter 20, verse 35. My sister Elizabeth, you can turn to Matthew 19, 29. Then we'll all turn to Proverbs 11, 24 to 26. Okay? Those two verses, just happen to just two verses there. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, you can read line and clip.
I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how to say, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Did you hear that? By the way, this verse you cannot find in the Gospels. You know where the Lord, you know where Paul heard this? When Jesus was one-on-one with him. Because it was the words of the Lord Jesus. He spent 3 years in the deserts of Arabia. But he actually, God actually spent that 3 years training him one-on-one. Kind of like Moses in the wilderness. Okay? And Paul says, he said, it is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Therefore, you know, as Christian, what we need to do? Every opportunity I have, I need to give. Whether it's in money, whether it's in time, whether it's in service, I need to give. The outcome, I'm not saying just give. We need to give and give. That's why it's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay? Matthew 19, verse 29. Well, Jesus is very clear once again, when we sacrifice things for Him in His name, not for our reputation. Some people say, I'm just going to sacrifice this. Tell you what, let me sacrifice $2 million for this building. Then the name is over there. And Jesus said, well, you got your reward. But you know, if you do it quietly and you sacrifice, Jesus says, you will receive a hundredfold. That's good investment sense. Amen? Okay? Let's turn to Proverbs 11, verse 24, 26. God has a few more principles there. The Bible says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is made, but it tendeth to poverty. You become poorer. The liberal soul shall be made fat. That's not literal puya, you know. Fat, gumo, you know. The liberal soul will be made fat. The idea of fatness means prosperous with God's blessing. He that watereth, this is interesting, he that watereth shall be waterless also himself. You know, if you give, people will give back to you. You do not ask for it. But you give, God promises, even if people don't water you, I'll water you. Amen? God will take care of us. Verse 26, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. If you actively give, God says, I will return to you. Okay, let's look at Titus. Okay, Titus, I just reinforce this a little bit more. Titus chapter 2. One of the results of this principle of sowing means, as Christians, what are some attitudes we need to have in our Christian life? I think I already put it down there. I'll just read. We need to be zealous for good deeds. Okay, in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, this who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You know what the word zealous means? Hot. That means we are always ready to do something good for someone else. Are we always ready? Are we always ready? Let me ask you a question. This is just, okay, I think I can speak to you like that, okay, on a Friday night. How many of you, when there's something good to do for the Lord, you hesitate? And start thinking, can I do this? I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this. Can I challenge you? That whenever there's an opportunity to serve God, I'll do it. I had a bombshell dropped on me recently, but it's okay. and something that I wasn't supposed to do, but you know, it's part and parcel of serving God. So I'll do it. And I was thinking, oh no, but it's okay. Now sometimes when you open your mouth, you cannot close already. Huh? But you know, sometimes that's what God wants us to do. We learn to trust me. We need to be zealous of good works. Titus chapter 3 verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Every Christian should stand ready. Is there something to do? I'll do it. I'll do it. You know why? Can I say this? When you do, when you have that kind of attitude, I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it. If there's a thing to volunteer and serve, I'll do it. Huh? VBS. VBS should be filled by now. I'll do it. Why? Because there's a good work to be done. Some children will come to Christ. But can I challenge you? God's word says we need to be ready to every good work. We need to be willing and then say, look, I'll put my name there. I don't know what tomorrow will hold. Huh? I don't know what's going to happen. But I'll put my name there. Why? Because I want to serve God. That's what it means to sow, guys. So, for every good work, Titus chapter 3 verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things are will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto all men. When you do what is good, you affect other men. Titus 3, 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary users. We need to learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs, that they may not be not unfruitful. Well, sometimes people have needs. We must be ready to reach out to them so that they can grow. Okay? And this is part and parcel of the Christian life. Can I challenge you? God is going to grow us. But you know, we need to be ready. We need to be ready to grow. And unless we are ready to put in, unless we are ready to sow, we will not reap. I thank God that God is going to allow investor to reap. But you know, I'm waiting for the next cycle. I told the people on Wednesday night when we went out tracting, okay, at Yishun, block 269, and they said, look, we're just here. We just have to sow. 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 And we look to the Lord. You are the Lord of the harvest. We are just sowing. We don't expect anything. But you know, sorry, I take that back. We expect God for us to reap. But you know what God just said? I want to just see. Sometimes the principle of the law of the harvest is you reap in the future. And you know what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to see you pressing on. You know, can I say this, Christians? When you sow, what you're doing, say, God, although I sow, I'm not seeing the outcome. But I know I'm trusting you, Lord, that you are going to bring the outcome. And that's why, you know, when I was watching this DVD about this missionary who didn't have any converts for 6 years, and to the point that he was so discouraged, and he didn't realize that he was in the midst of demon territory, because the Lisu people worship demons. And for the first time when he attended one of them, he could see that these people actually literally worship demons. And he was in a stronghold, and he was very discouraged. He began to doubt God, until God told him, the way you fight back is that you need to submit to me and resist the devil. And then he began to learn how to pray by faith. He said, all this while he's been wasting, he said this, I've wasted 6 years praying for nothing. He didn't pray for anyone to come. He just prayed that God will help him. By God's grace, I'm going to change Ambassador Baptist Church way of praying. Many times we pray like this, God, please help me to do this. Please help me to do this. Please help me to do this. We need to change that. We need to change. Say, God, I will commit myself to overcome the sin of anger. But God, you need to help me. In other words, you put yourself, God, I expect you to help me. I'm going to trust you with all my heart. And every time the anger comes, God, I'm going to turn to your word. But God, I want you to help me in the next 6 months to overcome this sin. That's the way we need to pray. We need to say, God, we want 50 added to Ambassador Baptist Church. Because God says, you don't ask, you don't receive. Not only that, you know, when you ask, you're trusting God as you go and you're looking for that 50 that God is going to give to you. That's trust and faith. Okay, we need to move towards that. Alright? Very quickly, three foundations for this principle. Okay, in order that we are people who are so bountifully and generously of our lives, our talents, our time, our treasures and truth, just very quickly, there are three principles, foundations. For this principle, we reap in proportion to what we sow. Number one, God's character. God's character. God is someone who gives and gives and gives. And therefore, for us to be Christians, to be like God, we need to learn to give and give and give. And get this, God gives without asking in return. He gives. Okay, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I'll just read there. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The Lord Jesus Christ is able and wants to do things for us over and above all that we can ask and think. And you know what? There is a principle of God's character. He wants to give. Okay, that's number one. Number two, our part and our need. I wrote there already. Man needs knowledge and insight for life. We need faith and we need to be faithful. We need hope and we need endurance. We need to love and we need to learn to labor. Okay, so we give not because God needs the money. Can I make this clear? I learned this principle, and as a Christian and as an ambassador, as a whole, we need to learn this. We give to God not because He needs our money. We give to God because we need God's blessings. Can you hear? Did you hear that? We give to God not because He needs our money, but we give Him our time, our talents, our money to serve Him. It's because we need the blessings. Does that make sense? And when we get that right, all we'll be giving. This is very, 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 very important principle for us as Christians. And sometimes we think we want to hold back because we are afraid we lack. See, God says, you hold back then, but there's no blessings. But we need to learn to give, then God will give. And that's what the Bible teaches us, okay? And it's so important because many Christians, Paul actually wants us to learn to give out of a bountiful heart. Let's turn back to 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, okay? 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, the law of the harvest, the reason why we will reap according to what a portion of what we sow. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, once again, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The word bountifully there is very interesting because it has to do with eulogy. You know what's a eulogy? What's a eulogy? E-U-L-O-G-Y. What's a eulogy? Where do you hear eulogies? Generally at funerals, okay? Or usually in a eulogy, what is a eulogy? A tribute, okay, to someone. Okay, Paul says, if you will collect this eulogy, what you are is in effect doing, you are collecting this as a blessing to someone. When we collect offerings, okay, in this situation it talks about offerings, okay, and when you collect that, who is Paul going to send this money to? It's going to send to the poor Macedonian brethren. Okay? And Paul says, remember, he says, let's get a collection because there are some Jerusalem saints who are very poor and they need to, we need to bring a collection because these saints are starving or they have problems. And Paul says, I want you to give this eulogy, this tribute. This tribute is not to yourself, it's to God. And when you give, God is able to then multiply it. Does it make sense? Get this, when we give to God, we are not asking God to bless us. That's a very important attitude. It's for God to bless the other person. And then God will bless us. So that we can continue to be a blessing. Okay? When we stop that cycle, when we say, I'm going to not give anymore, you know what God does? He essentially cuts off that blessing too. That's why Christians who are very inward-looking tends to be a little critical. You know why? They tend to kind of criticize other people more. You know why? They're not receiving the blessings they used to receive. We need to give. Because we need God to bless us. Oh, that's a very important principle for us as Christians. Only when we give, then God will bless us. Okay? And remember, when we give, whether it's to the building fund, to support the church, to someone who is poor, when you give, we are saying, God, I'm just obeying you because I need you to bless me too. Because you taught me this principle, Lord, if I don't give, God, that means I'm keeping all to myself. And that's where I'm going to lose. And you will. You will. Spiritual blessings. One more point. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes, okay? The foundation for this particular principle of we reap in proportion to what we sow is, number one, God's character, because God is a giving God, so we need to learn to give like Him. Number two, because of what we need, we give because we need blessings. And number three, because of life uncertainties. Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. Oh, this is so wonderful. This is a challenging passage. I'll just read, alright? Verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. This is an encouragement for Solomon to give. To give. To give. Because Solomon says, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Now, the uncertainties of lives are one of the things that keep most people from giving and ministering to others when they have the opportunity. Oh, listen to this. The uncertainties of life oftentimes stops us from ministering and giving to other people when we have the opportunity. They are afraid that by their giving, they will lack. What if I commit and I cannot do it? You know what that is? That's unbelief. Think through. If you commit, and then suddenly, what if I commit, I cannot? That's unbelief. You're not trusting God. You are holding life in your own hands. I want to control my time. Think through. If you say, what if I commit, I cannot make it? Let me ask you a question. Have you prayed through and said, Lord, is this your will? Well, one of the visions for Ambassador that we will be a seeking the Lord church. In everything we seek the Lord. If God says no, then no. If God says go, then there's no buts. When we say, I'm not addressing issues, I'm just teaching you Bible. I know it will have applications to a lot of things that we do in church. But you know, as church members, can I say this? When we say, I'm afraid I may not be able to have the time, that's unbelief. Is your heart willing to serve God first? And say, God, I'm going to serve you. I'll commit myself and let you sort out the other things. Can I challenge you? Let's trust God. The law of life uncertainties is this. Solomon says, cast your bread upon the waters. You will receive it up after many days. Can I say this, and I'll say it very strongly, there is no convenient time to serve God. I say again, there will be no convenient time to serve God, especially in Singapore. I take away the Facebook time. You might have some minutes, you know. But think about that. Think about that. The uncertainties of life are one of the things that keep most Christians from giving and ministering to others when they have the opportunity. If I give, I might not be able to meet the needs of my family. But these verses that Solomon gives are in context that calls for casting our breads upon the water for generous giving, knowing that our gifts will come back to us at a later time. God will bless when we give. I've seen that again and again and again. There was one time, I think I shared before, I'll share again for the benefit of those people. You know, as a full-time person, sometimes, you know, financially there may be a problem. There was one time, it was close to Chinese New Year, and we just received a love offering of a few hundred dollars. And, wow, thank God, at least God provided. You know, the same minute God says, I want you to give that away, I say, what? You know, just an impression in the heart, just give. It was a struggle. But you know, the offering back came, God. That was a Sunday. On Monday, this is real, I received a phone call from my senior pastor, someone from Macau, a church, is going to support me monthly. And I share my family. These are lessons of faith. Some of you may be holding on when God says, let it go. Let it go. Your money, it belongs to me anyway. Your time, it belongs to me anyway. Your children, it belongs to me anyway. The things that you have, it belongs to me anyway. Your health, it belongs to me anyway. It makes logical sense, therefore, I say, Lord, I surrender to you. In the principle of sowing, Christians, you know, challenge us. I think you know me and I know you. We need to learn to just put our lives, Lord, if this is what you have done. The Lord Jesus gave his life. Can you imagine one life paid for millions of Christians today? He was willing to sacrifice. The point here is that we are not trying to second guess the sovereign God. When we give, when you put the thing in whatever, your time or whatever, to serve God, are we willing to say, God, I'm going to give to you. I'll trust you for whatever that you want to bring out of that. I may not even see the outcome, but God, if I'm on earth to do something good that will benefit someone's life, then God, help me to do it in your name. We need to live that kind of life. And by the way, one day when we stand before God, your iPad's not going to be with you. Your iPhone's not going to be with you. Your computer's not going to be with you. Your money's not going to be with you. Think of Steve Jobs. All his billions of dollars. Where is it now? Probably distributed to his wife and all that. What does he have? An eternity in hell? That's all that he has. Yeah, he did a lot of good things for technology. But what does it profit a man? Christians, don't give your life to the world. Give your life to God. So, for what really, really matters. As we close, how much are you sowing to your spiritual life and your family's life? How much are you sowing for your own spiritual growth? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. I've gone a little beyond, but Father, I pray that you will help us to understand this truth. Oh God, that we would sow to eternal life. And God, I pray that everyone who comes on a Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning as you hear the word of God, I pray their desire will be, Lord, how am I going to get closer to you? Father, in this law of the harvest, help us to sow. Help us to do more for you. Because we know by faith, Lord, it's not just doing more because Brother Johnny says so. It's not just doing more because the church is growing, therefore, and it's sowing because, Lord, we need your blessings. It's sowing because, Lord, I trust you. It's putting our whole life, Lord, before your holy presence. Father, I'm praying for Ambassador Baptist Church to be a church that will sow to righteousness. A church that would do the right thing and will commit to the right thing. And God, you will take care of the consequences for us. Father, I just ask for your grace. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, I just want to ask this question. Are you sowing in proportion to what you expect to reap? If you expect to reap a big spiritual harvest, are you sowing proportionately? Say, Brother Johnny, God has taught me a lesson today, and I want you to pray that God will help me to sow bountifully, spiritually. Is there anyone like that? Just put your right hand. I'll pray for you that God will help you sow. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. I see that hand. Just pull up your right hand. I'll pray for you. But you pray yourself that God help me to sow. Take steps of faith. Trusting God. Give your time, give your talents for the Lord. Is there anyone else? I'm willing to sow. Yes, it's going to be a step of faith. I've never done this before, but Lord, I want to trust God. Is there anyone? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for those people that put up their hands. Lord, I ask you to teach us, Lord, the awesome lesson of trust and faith in Christ. Lord, it's not just about serving, serving, serving. It's about giving our hearts to you first. For Lord, you are not interested in our service when the sincerity is absent. Oh Lord, you are not interested in our work when the wardrobe of our hearts are closed to you. Lord, you want us to be open to you as we give to trust. So Lord, I pray that Ambassador Baptist Church, Father, I'm praying for a church that's, whose heart is set on commitment to your will. And I pray that every one of us, Father, would have, every father would have that, that their whole family will be committed to the work and the will of God. And every mother will support that. And every child will obey the parents as they walk the way of righteousness. And God will thank you for what you're going to do now. We pray, I just want to remember collectively Titus, that you will raise him up. Lord, we are asking you that he might discharge tomorrow. That Father, specifically, that you will heal him. But Father, you said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And so as a church right now, Lord, we are praying that you will raise Titus up tomorrow. And that he will be discharged. I pray for Theron, that by tomorrow, Father, the doctors will find out what's wrong. And Lord, we're trusting you with that. So Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. Teach us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take some prayer requests. Let's pray for Theron and Titus.